will in our lives. If you are a Christian, if you've received Christ as your Savior, and the Holy Spirit dwells in your heart and life, then God desires to have an integral part in your life, guiding you and instructing you and shaping the direction you go in. So you and I as Christians, we may struggle a little bit with, well, what does the Lord want of me? What does He want me to do? So I'm going to take you through a number of scriptures throughout the New Testament to show you what God teaches us about seeking to know His will. And I want to start with Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read to you verses 1 and 2. And then from there, we're going to look at a number of scriptures to really draw an understanding of this. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so I want you to read with me out loud that last part of verse 2 that starts with that ye may prove. So let's all read that together out loud. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that is our goal this morning in going to the scriptures, is to learn to understand how we might prove what is that good and acceptable will of God, even the perfect will of God in our lives. So the first thing I want to start off with is that we as individuals, we need to believe with confidence. We need to believe in our God. We need to believe in His desire to be involved in our lives. We need to believe that He really does have a perfect will in our lives. It is a matter of faith. So I want you to turn with me, if you would, to the book of Ephesians in your New Testament. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm going to read to you verses 15 down through 18. Ephesians 1, 15 down through 18. It says, wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance is in the saints. So as you look at this, you understand that He's talking to you and I about having confidence, faith, in understanding that He has for us the truths and knowledge we need. When you look back at this text I just read to you, look down again with me, if you would, at verses 17 and 18. Listen to what He says again in the middle of verse 17. He says that He may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. God desires to give each and every one of us wisdom and knowledge, understanding. In fact, James, he tells us that if we lack wisdom, we should pray and ask for wisdom from God, who is, the verse explains, God is not stingy to not give that to us. He desires to give to us wisdom and knowledge and understanding. So if we're going to know God's will in our lives, we want to tap into that Holy Spirit that's in our life and ask Him, God, please, give me the wisdom I need. Give me the understanding I need. Verse 18 in that same text, He says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling. So that's what we're seeking. God, we need you to open my eyes that I might understand, that I might be enlightened to the wisdom of what you have for me in my life. So we have to step into that by faith. We say, God, I don't know everything, and I desire to know your will concerning whatever circumstance you're facing in your life. So it starts with that confidence and understanding that God truly does desire to give us that knowledge, that wisdom, that insight that he has for us. The second thing I want to give to you is I want you to see that in the scriptures, God desires to give to us understanding through his word. So not only do we talk to God and say, God, help me to know your will, show me through your Holy Spirit, give me that wisdom, that insightfulness, that understanding, but also we go to his word. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy 2:15. Very familiar verse, actually, for years and years and years. We taught the boys and girls in Sunday school this verse because it's such an important verse for us to hide in our hearts. Listen to what he says, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So God says to us, you have to put forth the effort. You've got to invest in studying. Study the word of God. In fact, he goes on, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. He wants us to study and understand what God has for us in his holy word, that we would not be ashamed, but rather that we would have full understanding from his word. There's a lot of things that Christians struggle about that the Bible would answer that question. Lord, should I go? You know, they've legalized marijuana. Lord, should I go to this big pot party that's down at the end of the road and get hammered on marijuana this coming Friday night? Well, you know what? The Bible tells us that we should be sober in our mind, that we should have the Holy Spirit giving us wisdom and leadership in our lives. He says, be not drunk, wherein is foolishness or wastefulness of our lives, but instead be sober, alert, aware. So the Bible answers that question. Should I go down to the local meth lab and get a weekly hit of meth? No, that's not of the Lord. Should I go to the local pot dispensary and get my weekly share of bags of marijuana to get high? No, have a clear mind, a sober mind. That's what God teaches us. Should I go down to the latest and newest brewery and micro distillery and get hammered on whatever is the newest and latest, greatest alcoholic beverage? No, try to have a sound mind, the Bible teaches us. So some things about God's will are very easy to answer. You just start reading the Bible, and all of a sudden you find out, well, yeah, that's right. God wants me to have a clear head that the Holy Spirit might guide and direct in my life. So he tells us, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that is so applicable in so many areas of our lives. In fact, in Psalms 119, verse 105, it says, thy word is a lamp unto me, my feet, and a light unto my path. God desires to light the way through his word. But we have to spend time in his word. Amen? Mike is a local sheriff, and he went through the academy down here in Pittsburgh. And I'm sure they gave you all kinds of books, right? Or media presentations, one of the other. And you had to study, am I right? And at the end, you had to maybe take an exam, a test? Yeah, to make sure you absorbed what you studied. Yeah, we understand the concept, don't we? That if I'm going to understand and know something, I need to invest some time and study it. Steve and Melissa are school teachers. And so I'm sure, I haven't been in school in a long time, but I'm assuming you guys still study material. Yeah. Yeah. And then in some form or another, you test the kids to make sure they've absorbed the material. Okay. I want to be sure. So in education, we understand the concept. You study the material, you go through it so that you thoroughly absorb it. And that's what God is saying to us about his word. He's saying, if you want to know my will, study my word. That will take you a long ways down that journey of understanding what God has for you in your life. Study to show yourself approved, the workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Let God's light shine the way of your path and your way, that you might know what his direction is for your life. In so many areas. Let me give you the third step in knowing God's will. Not only is it confidently believing that God truly does desire to give us that wisdom and insight. Not only does the Bible give us so much already up front that we might know what God has for us, but we need to seek godly counsel. Counsel is good Christian fellowship. That's what that is. So if all of your counsel comes from a bar stool, what are you going to get the perspective of? Drunks. That's kind of harsh, huh? Yeah. John's right. Well, sort of. So if you go ahead and you get all your counsel off of, morning talk shows on TV, what's your perspective going to be? It's going to be the secular, latest, greatest, whatever psychobabble they're doing today. It may change next week, so I'm going to lock it right into today. So God says to us, but wait a minute, let me give you something different. Let me explain to you that you might seek godly counsel. Instead of going to wherever or tuning into whatever, he says, why not seek godly counsel among brothers and sisters in Christ and those who are your spiritual leaders. So listen to what he says to us. Go with me, if you would, to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, a tremendous book of wisdom. 31 chapters. If you read a chapter a day, you'll read the book of Proverbs every month. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 1. And I want you to listen to verse 5, and I'm actually going to read to you a number of these Proverbs to help you to understand that God wants us to seek good, godly counsel. Proverbs 1:5 says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. So, if you and I want to be that person of understanding, we should seek out not just counsel, wise counsel, godly counsel, Christian counsel, Bible-based counsel, counsel of life's experience of those who have also walked with the Lord. So we see in Proverbs 1:5, he wants us to be that individual who seeks out that wise counsel. Look with me to Proverbs chapter 11, if you would, verse 14. Proverbs 11:14. It says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So he's telling us, he says, listen, look around in your Christian life. Look at those brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't just talk to one, but seek godly counsel among many who are living for the Lord, finding victory in the Lord, who are successful in the things of God. Seek counsel amongst that circle of believers. So let's take young couples who are raising their children. One of the best resources for good godly counsel are those who are older than you, have already raised kids successfully, that are strong and faithful. You go to those couples and you say, hey, can you give me some insight? I'm raising little Johnny and Susie here, and I want them to grow up to know and love the Lord. Tell me, what were some of the things you did to help pattern their lives in the right direction? They're going to give you some insight. They're going to give you some wisdom. Now, you don't want to go to, like they have visiting day at the local prison. You don't want to go on visiting day and set up a little booth out front and set up, come and give me counsel. So as the moms and dads are coming to visit their kids in the penitentiary, you don't want them to give you advice on how they raise their kids, because you're hoping yours won't go to the penitentiary, right? Amen. So you seek out wise counsel among folks who have raised up their kids to know and love the Lord. So many areas of our lives. He teaches us, seek multitudes, much, many, folks who have lived and practiced their faith and successfully grown in it. Seek that counsel. Look with me, if you would, at Proverbs 12, verse 15. It says, the way of a fool is right in their own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. So God's given us a little bit of advice here. He's saying, for you that step back and say, well, I don't need any help. I don't need anybody to guide me or give me counsel. I don't want to know what anybody else thinks. He says, that's a very foolish way to look at life. Simply because everything in our own eyes, when we look at it and perceive it, it's right. If it's all from us, we're thinking, yeah, this is good. But if you seek multiple counsel, wise, godly counsel, then there are people who will say, well, maybe you should step back and relook at this. Let me help you kind of have a different perspective. They help give you a broader, wider understanding. It's interesting as preachers learning to be a pastor. Years ago, when I was a young person going to college, you'd run into other guys who went to other colleges. Well, some colleges are made up of many different instructors. Some Bible colleges can be dominated by one single perspective. So I'll give you one. For instance, Jack Hiles used to have a Bible college, and all that ministry has changed tremendously. But Jack Hiles had certain idiosyncrasies in his life. And every preacher boy was encouraged to pattern after those things. He even had kind of a cough, kind of clearing your throat thing. And you could tell if this kid went to his college, they would kind of pattern that same little thing. Now, they didn't have whatever his problem was, but they had picked up that little idiosyncrasy by thinking, man, that makes good preach, good preaching. And so you'd see this, and you'd know they'd gotten one perspective. He says, seek much wisdom, many, many voices in a godly spectrum. Don't always look at it like, yeah, I already know. I know, I've got it under control. Yeah, I know. He says, that's not good. That's foolish in your life. We should seek godly counsel. That helps us to know God's will. Not only do we confidently believe that He really desires to give us that insight and wisdom, not only do we know that His Bible gives to us great insight and instruction, but He tells us that counsel from our brothers and sisters in Christ is something wise to do. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22, he says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. So it's interesting. He says, you know, we set out with a certain purpose, an objective, and a goal. But he says, if we don't seek good, wisely counsel, oftentimes those purposes and objectives are disappointed. But when we seek the counsel of others to achieve those purposes and goals in our lives, he says, oftentimes through the counsel of many good, godly, helpful, encouraging counselors, we see it come to pass, and it honors God and it blesses us. So he's teaching us to seek godly instruction. The fourth one I want to give you, as we learn about seeking and knowing God's will, is that we ourselves need to be alert to the Spirit's leading in our hearts and our lives. Now, we've already talked about that we need to believe that God truly does desire to give to us wisdom and insight. But we have to learn to listen to the Spirit of God speaking to us. And that does take some exercise. It takes some practice to learn to sense and know when God is leading us in our lives. You don't want God to have to come up and whack you with a 2x4. That's not how you want to learn to listen to God, is it? You want to learn to hear that still small voice that the Scriptures teach us about. Look with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. And here we find the Apostle Paul writing as God inspires him. And he's talking about some things that are going on in his ministry and life. And it gives us a little insight to him in regards to his ability to listen and hear God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Listen with me, if you would, at verses 12 and 13. And I'm actually going to go all the way down to verse 14. He says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So when we start talking about knowing God's will in our lives, sensing God's direction in our lives, we have to understand straight up, this is a spiritual thing. This is something that is between us and God. It is spiritual. So we have to tune into that which is spiritual. It can't be that we tune into that which is the natural man, the carnal man, the fleshly man. So it's not a matter of looking for God to do that which is that is emotional or physical. We're asking him to speak to us in our spiritual heart, our internal man. So listen again to what Paul says to us. He says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." So we make it way too complicated. We think, well, what can I do? It's almost like good works. You know, how much can I do to get God to show me? He says, wait a minute, this is not an earthly or worldly thing. He says, this is a spiritual thing. It's the Spirit of God that we might know the things that are freely given to us. Verse 13, "Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." So all of a sudden we're asking God, "Lord, I need you to give me wisdom and insight spiritually." And we compare the Word of God, spiritual things, with the counsel from other believers, spiritual things, to the Holy Spirit speaking within our hearts, spiritual things, that we might know God's will in our lives, a spiritual thing. So each thing ties one to another through a spiritual web, a spiritual network. So he tells us this is not of the world. In fact, a natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And what's he talking about when he says a natural man? He's talking about a person who's not yet born again, a person who's not yet let the Spirit of God transform them, renew them, give them newness of life. When we receive Christ as our Savior and we accept him into our hearts and our lives, Jesus Christ called that being born again. Old things pass away. All things become new. We are new creatures in Christ. So God says to us, he says, listen, the old natural man can't tap into that spiritual man that is there when you receive Christ as your Savior. But if you have received Christ, then you can compare spiritual with spiritual. You can learn to understand and know the work of the Spirit of God in your life. But you have to exercise that. You've got to learn to hear that. It's a little bit like you and I who are our parents. Have you ever noticed that when you have little kids, you can recognize the voice? Your child does not even have to say your name, but you can recognize their little cry or their little squeal. All the kids can be playing outside, and all of a sudden you hear a little cry, and you think, I think that's my kid. And you go to check, is the leg broken? Is an arm ripped off? You know, what has happened that make my kids cry out like that? And you go out there and you find out it was almost nothing. Your heart raced. They've moved on. But you recognize that little bit of voice, don't you? It's like a kid with their parents. You know, oftentimes parents don't have to say that much to get their kids' attention if the kids have learned not to ignore their parents. So they will go ahead and look up because mom and dad have said something. It's the same thing with you and I knowing each other. Somebody called me on the phone the other day. Oh, it's a lady who, she's disabled. She no longer can come to church. But she called me on the phone. She never gives me her name, but instantly I recognize her voice. So I answered the phone at the church, Victory Baptist Church, and she said something. I said, "Hi." I knew exactly who she was from years of ministering to her. It's the same thing in you and I, our relationship with God. If you have maintained a spiritual walk with the Lord, if you've maintained that relationship of comparing spiritual to spiritual and listening and learning, then when God moves in your heart and he speaks to you in that still small voice, you know this is the Lord. And that's what he's telling us. Learn to hear and know that spiritual voice in your heart and soul. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in worship. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in reading the Bible. Spend time meditating and contemplating spiritual things. And learn to hear what God has for us. The last one I want to give you, as you seek to know God's will in your life, is recognize that God does open and he closes doors. In other words, God is actively involved in your life and mine. But we have to watch. We've got to pay attention. So look with me, if you would, to we're going to go down here to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. First Corinthians 16, verses 8 and 9. Here the Apostle Paul, he says, "But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." So Paul says, as he's writing this letter under the inspiration of God, he says, "You know what? I have noticed that God has opened a great door with power for me to go ahead and bring the gospel." Now he says, "I know that there's going to be much opposition. There'll be many adversaries. But I know that God has opened this door in my life." Look with me, if you would, over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. He says, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord." Now, he's not talking about a physical door. He didn't walk up and all of a sudden auto doors just popped open. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about God working in the circumstances and the situation. And all of a sudden, things changed. And Paul said, "I see the hand of God working." That's God opening the door in this situation in my life. Paul also talks about times when the door closed. He said, "I desire to go to such and such a place, but God closed those doors." God worked and changed the circumstances. And you've got to learn to recognize when the door is opened and when it's closed by God. Now, sometimes we have a tendency to want it to go a certain way. So what do? We kick the door open. Have you ever seen a kid do that, kick a door open? I was here at the church one day, and the kids were goofing around in the fellowship hall, and those swinging doors that go into the fellowship hall. I was walking down the hallway, and all of a sudden the door went, bam! And this kid had just kicked, I guess he was practicing karate. I won't do it because I don't want to scare you or I yet, that high karate kick. But that door just wham! And sometimes we in our lives, we're just like a kid. We want it to go this way or that way. We want it to be, Lord. So even when God closes the door, we kick it open. And then we wonder, why did it not go so well? You know, that kid who kicked the door open wondered all of a sudden, why is the pastor unhappy with this door being opened so So effectively, they opened the door, but the pastor was not pleased. Why? Because you kicked the door open. Same thing with the Lord. If he closes the door, he's not looking for us to kick it open. He's looking for us to do like the apostle and say, yes, I have sensed and understand that the Lord has closed this door. I want you to look with me, if you would, at Revelation chapter 3, verse 8, last book in your Bible. The apostle writes here, he says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. So as John pens these words, he's giving to us what God has said. And he's saying, God has said to us, listen, I have before thee an open door. The Lord opens and closes doors in our lives. We need to be in tune and aware and responsive to the Lord at work in those things. Romans chapter 8, verse 25 says, but if we hope for that we will see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So he's saying, if we have hope in those things we cannot see, we can't see them, but we put hope that God will work in it. He'll guide in it. He'll instruct in it. He says, then we have to be patient. We have to be patient for the Lord to do his work. Oftentimes, we have no patience. We want God to be like McDonald's or Burger King or Jack in the Box or Taco Bell or whoever it is where you pull up, you push the button, you tell them what you want, you pull around the corner. And if it's not there in 45 seconds, you're wanting your money back. That's how oftentimes we treat God. And God says, no. If you have hope in those spiritual things, those things you cannot see, be patient. Let God do his work in your life. Learn to listen for him in his still small voice. Learn to watch for God opening and closing doors in your life. Learn to study and read his word, to know his instruction, that it might be clear and plain. And believe. Believe that God truly does want his children to know his will. I'd like you to bow your heads with me as we come to the end of the service. And as our heads are bowed and as we look in our hearts, I simply ask you as an individual, have you put your faith and trust in Christ? That's where it all begins. If you want to know God's will and his guidance in your life, then you need to know the Lord. You put your faith and trust in Christ. You accept him as your Savior. And you believe with confidence. Have you done that yet? That is the first step. And then you study. Study that you may be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And you seek counsel. And you listen to God. And you watch for his hand to be at work in opening and closing doors. Where are you in your spiritual walk today? Father in heaven, as we come to this invitation time, I pray for your spirit to work and move in our midst. Every one of us in our lives are at all different crossroads at any given time. And Lord, as believers, as your children, we want you to show us the way. Help us to take these truths, be more than hearers, but doers of your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit moves in our midst this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.